Welcome to In the Driver's Seat, a podcast on managing financial risk in your grain operation, brought to you by ABM.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Doug Rosa. I'm going to be your host today of another episode of In the Driver's Seat. This podcast series is really focused on how to manage financial farm risk, and there's so many different areas that impact that. So we try to dive in and focus in on what can you do about it. Today we are recording and broadcasting from the Farm Progress Show, Farm Progress Show 2019 in Decatur, Illinois. And our first topic that we want to talk about, the topic we want to key up today, is preserving quality in your grain. This step between harvest and delivery of the grain when you market it includes a lot of storage and handling and drying and aeration, and I think many farmers feel responsible to take good care of the crop that they raise. So we want to dive into that topic, and I have a couple of guests with me today. Jordan Pollack. Jordan, would you introduce yourself?
Thanks, Doug. My name is Jordan Pollack. I live in the Chicago area. I work for our process optimization group. I've been with ADM about 9 years now.
And we also have today with us Jay Ramsey.
Thanks, Doug. I'm Jay Ramsey. I office in Southern Illinois out of Mound City, and I work with the process optimization group as well. I work with all the ground piles and ground storage that that ADM has.
All right, so guys, let's dive into this a little bit. There's a lot of things we can talk about, but I'm going to start with Jordan here. Prior to harvest, there are some things you can do to prepare. So in terms of cleaning out and preparing equipment and storage facilities is one of them. Can you talk about maybe some tips associated with that?
Thanks, Doug. That's a good question. What we try to teach our young superintendents when they come into working for ADM is that your preparedness on the front end really saves extra work on the back end. So check the quality of your airflow going into your bins. Check your aeration tunnels. Make sure your equipment's operating correctly. Make sure you don't have any animals caught up in your augers or in your drags of any sort, and make sure that everything's in tip-top shape, just like you would your car before you decide to go on a long journey.
So preparing, Jay, I'll ask you a similar question. Any other tips for preparing?
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of times we use these storage facilities over years, and the fines will build up inside of the ductwork, which does a couple of things. It reduces your airflow, which you're not going to get the optimum airflow into that grain, as well as it's a harborage for insects. So cleaning them out helps you both ways, and potentially helps keep the insects at bay in your storage.
So preparing for harvest, a big step. There is no analog year for 2019. It's been nuts in many ways. And one topic I think people are thinking about is this could be, for the first time in a while, a wetter harvest. This could be a year where, you know, we have some early frost risk. So if we're preparing for a wet harvest, what tips might you have for handling and storing wet grain? And Jay, I'll let you start with that.
Well, good point. We're probably going to handle a lot wetter crop is what we'd anticipate looking at it right now. And so there again, you want to make sure your storage facilities have adequate air. The airflow is everything with grain. The fans are operating, that the system is clean. And then think about your optimum moisture that you're going to store as far as, do you need to dry it down? And I like to look at past history. If we've had good results handling wet corn in the past, we're probably going to have good results this year, or wet grain. Think about how you set your combine, because the fines are going to make a difference on how the air is going to flow. They're going to be a problematic all the way through the system. Consider when you do fill your bin that we typically have a core inside the bin. We want to work that core back out maybe and just take it straight to the market so we can maintain the airflow. You know, the big thing is here, we're trying to do everything right all the way up to this point. Let's not give away the quality going forward.
Yeah, the coring things worked well for me in my career too. You know, piling grain outdoors, et cetera, coring that center always made a huge difference in terms of that overall quality. So from a moisture standpoint, Jordan, is there an ideal moisture to be storing grain at? I mean, how would you talk about that subject?
That's kind of a loaded question, Doug. So
yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking you, and I'm not answering it.
It's really going to depend on your bin or any kind of storage that you're putting it in and what kind of aeration flow you have. At ADM, we shoot for that 1/10 CFM airflow to push through our bins. That allows us to get an adequate airflow and keep pushing the front. When I refer to a front, I talk about the moisture or the cooling effect as you run it through the bin. You don't want to stop your front moving through the bin, because then you'll crust up wherever that front stops, and then you won't get any more air past that point in your bin. So a couple tips: once you figure out what your CFM is on your bins, you want to make sure that you give your bin ample time to push that front all the way through the bin. And another tool that you can use is the equilibrium chart. So grain at a resting state in a certain temperature wants to be a certain moisture. So when you figure out what your grain temperature is, what your moisture your grain is, and what you want to get it down to, you can reference your equilibrium chart, and that helps you figure out what times of the day to run your fans and how to push that front through.
Where, if you wanted to get your hands on an equilibrium chart, where would one find such a thing?
You just Google it.
Okay.
You're going to see a ton of different options, different variations.
I've Googled a million things, but never an equilibrium chart, so that's a good tip for me. Another question. So when we look at fronts moving through grain, I know in a lot of our commercial space, we'll have tent cables, we'll have things like that where you can see some of that occurring. But if you don't have maybe all of that equipment, is there a good way to tell when that front has moved through? Like if you go up there and you open the door on the top of your bin, is there any other tips like that that you might have for someone that doesn't have maybe, you know, sophisticated monitoring equipment?
Well, Doug, you know, you're kind of built with your sophisticated monitoring system. You want to use your nose and the sense of feel. When you open up the door on the top of the bin, if you get a blast of warm, moist air, you'll understand that you're still pushing that front through the bin. You open up the bin top and you get a nice cool draft pretty close to the ambient temperature outside, then you'll know that you've reached a good point of getting that front pushed through your bin.
So Jay, maybe we're taking corn out of the field at that stage where you can't decide, should I dry it or can I just dry it down with air? It depends on a lot of things, the ambient temperature, et cetera. How would you answer the question?
Well, if I've got storage I've used before and I've got a history on, I would like to think I kind of have a good idea on that air. But I'll go back to Jordan mentioned that we like to run 1/10 CFM. And whenever that's calculated, that's figuring that the bin's completely full. And ideally, for every 1 CFM per bushel, you want to run your fans, general rule of thumb, 12 hours per CFM to get that front through. That if you weren't relying on your nose and your sense of smell and the temperature and such. So if we were set up for 1/10, we'd want to run about 120 hours to get all the way through that bin. One good resource that we can consider, especially when we have multiple bins to utilize, is start out with less quantity of grain. You know, if you have a half of a bin, that 1/10 CFM becomes 1/5 CFM. We can push air through a lot faster, drop that moisture and that equilibrium down a lot quicker with less quantity in the bin. I like to think that whenever I start filling a bin and we're going to have that moisture level, it might be 16 to 18, 19% moisture, start your fans up as soon as you get grain on the aeration.
I wish I maybe had some of this knowledge back when I was in my grain storage days. So what about dryers, grain dryers? So is there an optimal, Jordan, I'll have you take a first shot at this. Is there an optimal, you know, temperature or speed at which you dry? Is it correct to say that low and slow is better than hot and fast?
So some of the challenges that you run into with drying grain, it can be regionalized. I ran grain elevators in Wisconsin for about 5 years, and taking the central Illinois mindset where I grew up and applying that in Wisconsin didn't fly. We would pull grain out of the bottom of our dryer, and we wouldn't have cooled it down through the chambers well enough. And when it hit the cold air, the cold Wisconsin air, it would cause stress fractures in the grain. So once those stress fracture kernels ran through the grain or through the auger, it created more broken kernels, more FM. So once you figure out, you know, what optimal temperature you want to run at, we have our ideas as ADM. We're a little bit more on the conservative side to help not fracture the grain. Just make sure that when you're discharging the grain from the bottom of your dryer, you're within 20 to 30 degrees of your ambient temperature outside, just to make sure that you don't get that flash freeze effect like you would a warm, moist kernel coming out of the bottom of your dryer. That'll help out with that FIM.
Let's do a little Mythbusters. So oftentimes, especially when you first start, you know, going and you're trying to set your dryer, you'll have the tendency to overdry some grain. One theory I've heard is, hey, look, wait for a really moist, foggy morning and turn your fans on, put some moisture back in. Is that a good practice? Does that even work?
It can work, but it's a whole lot easier to take moisture out of grain than it is to get it back in. You're better off managing your moisture on the front end and trying to get your you know, if you're hitting a 15-0 market, I'm probably wanting to dry down to 15-0. The other thing, along with what Jordan said, you know, ideally you want to be low and slow to answer your question you asked, Jordan, but the other thing that works with you is the warmer that grain is coming out of the dryer, if you've got good aeration following it in your storage bins, you can take a little more out. So we, you know, we come out of the dryer and we think we're 14.5 and then we run our fans, and in reality, if we would check that moisture on that grain, we might be dropping it down to 14.0 within the first 10 days. But generally, going back to your original question, I don't want to do a lot of overdrying. It's tough to put moisture back in. And when you put it back in, you're introducing moisture that's not natural to that kernel, and a lot of times molds and odor are going to follow. It's going to be a problem down the road.
Jordan, you mentioned the freeze drying effect. At least I've witnessed some people who swore by, you know, they might put it in the bin at harvest time a little bit wetter, and the temperatures are down, so they'll just turn those fans on and they'll get that grain as cold as you can. And I don't know if it actually freezes, but the plan is to freeze that, and then you get to the springtime, temps start to warm up, and there's a thunderstorm inside the bin without the thunder, but it starts to rain. So can you give a little best practice tips on keeping your grain temp, you know, somewhere, you know, how does that affected by the outside ambient air temp?
It's another great question. So again, you want that 20 to 30 degree ambient temperature rule as your storing grain as well. So if you have 30 degree corner beans in a bin and it's 90 degrees outside, you're going to create a sweating effect on the outside of your bin, and it's going to have the greenhouse effect on the inside of your bin. So same difference. Once you get that greenhouse effect inside of your bin and it starts to rain and the corner beans start to crust over at the top of your bin, you're not going to get any airflow through that bin until that crust gets broken up. So if you do run into an issue like that, I would suggest, again, going from whatever position you are in the bin, whether it be cone up or flat, and pull that cone out of the bin. That'll break the crust up and allow you to get some air on it. Once you've started the aeration process and you've got the moisture issues inside the bin, you really want to just continue airing until you can get that bin empty.
Sure.
Just on a side of caution.
Soybeans are a different animal entirely, and usually the day before you harvest them, they're running 15 or 16, and you wait, and the next day they're at 9.5, and you wish you had gone the day before. So any tips on soybeans, harvest moisture, and maybe the nuances of soybeans once you put them in space and how that moisture travels?
Well, obviously they're gonna store a lot better than when they're on the drier side of that, but I feel like I can move moisture through soybeans easier than I can through corn. And, you know, maybe on those humid days, I can bring that moisture back up, but I really don't want to do that on the front end of my storage. I'd rather do that on the back end whenever I'm getting ready to move them to the market or move them to, you know, other space, which is probably going to be to the market from a farmer standpoint.
Is it true that soybeans, that moisture seems to spread out? I'm going to give you an example from my past, and you can tell me again whether it's a myth or reality. I put a load of 14.5 moisture beans in the same bin I was putting 11 moisture beans in, and literally almost the next day they would all come out at, you know, 12.5 or 13%. Is that real, or is that something I was imagining?
No, I think that's reality, and that's really improved. Good air on that bin will help that moisture migrate through the bin. And it kind of depends on which way your system is. Most of our systems are going to push to the top. If those wet beans are in the top, it's not going to migrate near as well. If you're wanting to get that migration, you're probably going to want to pull that core back down, and maybe you're going to run it through a grain cart and recycle it. But that is a good way to take advantage of those variables that we deal with when we're cutting beans.
Jordan, I'll ask you this, and you were up in Wisconsin. Maybe you've experienced some of this, but we used to get frosts early enough that, you know, some of the beans were still kind of green. And we had to quickly determine, you know, were these beans going to turn yellow? Were these beans going to, you know, mature after that early frost or not? Did you experience any of that in your Wisconsin days?
Yeah, a lot of the farmers up there actually, when it got close to being, you know, it was kind of borderline on when they were going to be ready or not, they would open for a frost. Because it could kind of finish it off in a little quicker period. Obviously, with beans that haven't matured anywhere close to their mature date, that's going to be more of a hindrance than it is going to help.
Sure.
But I know later in the cycle, it'll actually help draw that moisture out, that frost will, without damaging the bean too much.
Jay, is it a good best practice to put, say you're charging your dryer or you're just putting the first few loads in a bin, is it better to maybe plan to put some drier grain, you know, next to that aeration surface, or doesn't that matter so much?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Doug. I kind of like to look at the type of aeration. You know, if we've got full floor aeration and we've got good air, it's probably not going to be as critical. In my opinion, when we go with bigger diameter bins and they've got tunnel aeration, I've always said anything that sits on that concrete is never going to get air back to it, right? It's the first inventory in, and it's going to be the last thing to come out. So we may not have that dry base to put in that bin, but maybe we can dry into a truck or dry into a wagon and recycle it, or we can empty that bin out, you know, as some of our first inventory we take to market. Or you've got to make this work for what your situation is.
You know, no two areas of the country are the same, so it's adapting and learning to what your individual situation is, but I think these are good tips for everybody. Jordan, I want to ask you this too, and I think it's a good year to talk about it. Treated seed, we certainly had difficult planting conditions a lot of places, and I think the risk of treated seed ending up in grain that's going to be marketed is higher this year. What guidance would you give people in terms of treated seed and how to deal with that?
What we teach all of our pit guys and our pit operators is to look for that plugged load where we're potentially putting treated seed in the bottom of a load. You know, I don't want to speak to our exact policy, but I know a lot of companies, once that treated seed is found and if it's ran into a bin, the person that put that treated seed in there is liable for that bin worth of grain. So to me, the risk reward's not really there.
It represents a risk in the supply chain, right? So it's not just a matter of, you know, wanting to, you know, catch treated seed. It's a matter of keeping it out of the supply chain for a specific purpose. What's that specific purpose? What's the danger associated with treated seed?
Well, a lot of it's just the treatment that's on the seed, right? It's going to make animals sick. It's going to make humans sick. It's not made for human consumption. So by risking the fact of putting that into the grain stream and moving that down the line, it really can be a hindrance to both humans and animals if it's consumed.
Jay, same things happens with fertilizer. By accident, they'll be hauling, you know, fertilizer with a hopper, and the next load is grain, and the next load is fertilizer. Again, it's not us or anybody else trying to catch something going wrong, but to keep fertilizer out of that supply chain is just as critical.
Exactly. Two different components that we utilize in agriculture, and more we find ourselves handling fertilizer in bulk and using the same trucks, maybe even using the same conveyance equipment. That's the, you know, nothing wrong with doing that, but the risk is we got to get it cleaned out. Both are regulated by the FDA. It's a regulation thing, and neither one of them, if they get found anywhere in the supply chain, they're going to disrupt the supply, and it affects all of us ultimately. So you know, the risk versus the reward on seed, I think a lot of it's just knowledge. I don't think anybody's out there trying to pull anything over on the elevator. It's just a few bags of beans left over, and I just will throw them in, you know, in the bottom of the truck or whatever. I just will throw them in the bin. I'd work with my seed supplier on that, on what you can do with them, because that couple of bushel is not going to mount up. It's not going to make a difference versus the risk that we could potentially have.
I've heard you guys both talk a lot about grain quality and how important it is just for the marketability. But I also heard you talk about not moving the front through and crusting. So, Jordan, I'll ask you this question. Is it safe to say that keeping your grain with the right quality is also important from a safety consideration?
I definitely agree with that statement. So, being with the company for multiple years and working through a bunch of different storage facilities and different aspects of grain handling, you begin to develop patterns. And usually the unsafe conditions that you have in grain bins are related to grain that's either out of condition or grain that had a higher FM in going into the bin than we would have liked. You start to see big boulders hanging off the wall that you might not see if you walk into a bin to sweep the floor. Not everybody does a visual look around the bin to make sure there's no bridged or hung up material. So yeah, very much so. You know, you want to make sure that your grain quality is high.
Jay, we have a lot of procedures that we follow to enter spaces like that safely. What are some of the few best tips you would give somebody entering their own grain bin?
Right. Some of the practices we follow, I know you may not have all the resources for, but we're going to not enter a bin when the grain is flowing, when the equipment can run underneath. We're going to do a lockout on that equipment. That's a really good practice to have, to lock that equipment out. There's no way anybody's going to get a limb or, caught up in it and jeopardize that. We do atmospheric monitoring. We read the oxygen meter or oxygen levels in the bins. We have some pretty sophisticated meters, but I think there's some stuff out on the market that's not that expensive. You know, a lot of that you can visually see. If you see mold, you see grain out of condition, we could be losing oxygen in that bin. That might be a real good reason why we'd want to, if we have to get in there, we want to confirm what the oxygen level is. We're going to wear a body harness, so we've got a retrieval method. And if we have to stand on grain that may have been bridged, we are going to have to be supported from directly above. But I think this is we're not up here talking about safety. That's not our main topic of discussion. But it really is. It probably should have been a starting point. You know, if everything we do growing this crop and marketing this crop and then trying to hold on to this grain is all for naught if we lose life or limb. And a lot of times, when you look at the root cause of why the person was in the bin that sustained the injury or lost their life, a lot of times they're dealing with a grain quality issue inside that bin. Might be a mechanical, but most time it's grain quality. That's all the more reason to really consider how you can step up your game on your quality this year, not much less the financial that's going to follow it.
Jordan and Jay, thank you. I've enjoyed this conversation. I've learned a lot. We talked a lot about preserving grain quality. We also talked, about the reasons why that's important to the financial aspects of your farm. But man, the safety piece is a big one as well. So thank you for joining this episode of In the Driver's Seat.
This has been In the Driver's Seat, brought to you by ABM. To learn more about managing financial risk in your grain operation, talk to your local ABM representative or go to ABMAdvantage.com.